Hey ladies, before the episode starts, I wanted to let you know that I'm opening up the doors to Thrive Solo, my membership community for single women, for just 48 hours. From Monday the 29th of April to the 1st of May, I'm doing a flash sale, during which time you can sign up for a full year at the discounted price of £250, also known as 12 months for the price of less than 10. Alternatively, you can join for the monthly price of £27, which is less than a pound a day, and you are free to cancel at any time. Now, Thrive Solo is a space that I'm truly proud to have created, and I absolutely love the women inside this group. Every time I come off a live call, my heart feels full and I feel uplifted and inspired, and that's what I want for you too. So if you're looking to feel part of a fabulous community of other single women who will support you, who will make you feel seen and heard, and who will help you normalize being single, then Thrive Solo could be the place for you. This group is for women who are looking to make the most of their lives and who want to enjoy their time on planet Earth, regardless of their relationship status. We are a kind, caring, fun, supportive community of women of all ages who come together three times a month for live calls. We also have an active WhatsApp group that I'm very engaged in, as well as a book club and two extra podcast episodes each month. So, if you're tired of feeling crap about your single status and you want to feel great about it, or if you already feel great about it and you just want to surround yourself with other single women so you don't feel like the only one, then come and join us. Thrive Solo is a place for those women who don't want to just survive being single, but want to actually thrive. You can read some testimonials and sign up right now by going to lucymegason.com/thrivesolo. That's lucymegason.com/thrivesolo. And remember, this offer is only on until the 1st of May. Are you, like me, a spinster? Are you single, child-free, and tired of the stigma attached to your situation in life? Are you actually having a bloody great time living your best life while all of your friends are tied up with their husbands and kids? If you think being a spinster is actually pretty awesome and you want to change the old-fashioned narrative, you want people to realize that not having a relationship or kids gives you the freedom to live a fabulous life all on your own terms. If this is you, then you've come to the right place. If, on the other hand, you're a spinster who isn't feeling quite so great about it, you've also come to the right place. Because I want you to feel great about it. I want you to know that your life is just as valid, valuable, and meaningful as anyone else's. If you're also interested in personal growth and working on yourself to become the best possible version of you, then you're in luck, because we're also going to be talking about my other obsession, personal development, and how we can use the extra time we've been gifted due to our lack of relationship and children, and use that time to really become the people we want to be. I'm excited, and I hope you are too. Join me every Tuesday for episodes with just me, or me and one of my brilliant guests. My name is Lucy Megason. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to Spinsterhood Reimagined. Hey, and a very warm welcome back to Spinsterhood Reimagined. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, my guest on today's episode is the force of nature that is Heidi Clements. Now, I randomly came across Heidi when she came up in my Instagram feed, and I scrolled all through her Instagram and I just thought she was so brilliant that I decided to get her on the podcast. Heidi is 63, she's single, she's childless, and she wants to change the way we see women over the age of 50, something that she is incredibly passionate about. She is also a fashion enthusiast and a storyteller, and her highly successful Instagram and TikTok accounts combine those two things. She basically does a Get Dressed With Me and narrates a story about some aspect of her life over the video. You really must check it out. Now, in this conversation, Heidi and I go deep into all things aging, alcoholism, being single, men, life, and she also talks about two times in her life when she was sexually assaulted. So please do be aware, if you're triggered by anything like that, that rape does come up in our conversation. Now, Heidi really is a force to be reckoned with. She does not mince her words, and she is a very good example of someone who is truly living authentically. I loved her, and I'm sure you guys will too. So, without further ado, here is the brilliant Heidi Clements. Heidi Clements, thank you so much for joining me, and a very, very warm welcome to Spinsterhood Reimagined. I'm genuinely excited to have you here. I've been really looking forward to this because I found you on Instagram, as we've just been talking before we press record. And I was scrolling through my feed and one of your reels came up, and I was subsequently transfixed for the next at least half an hour, probably more like an hour if I'm completely honest. But I thought you were just so, so brilliant. And then somebody else, without knowing that I'd already discovered you, sent me one of your reels. And I thought, I've got to get this woman on the podcast. So here we are. But I truly think you are fucking awesome. But anyway, before we get into this conversation, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I am always gobsmacked, to use a British expression, by the wonderful things people say about me and that people share me. And I deeply appreciate people who go and do a deep dive and watch more than the one video, because people always ask me questions that I've answered 1,000 times over. But anyway, my name is Heidi Clements. I am a 63-year-old, single, never been married, never have children, had children, woman living in America, which I don't know what I have to say about that country today right now. I love fashion, and I was a scripted writer, and I decided to use storytelling while I got dressed to say some of the things that I like to say in my scripts. I only write scripts about women over 50 because I think it's what's missing in the world. And when I couldn't get anybody's attention, I just started doing TikToks and Instagram reels.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Now, before we get into, we're going to obviously talk about your Instagram, and we're going to talk about, you know, you being single and not having kids, but I'd actually like to kick off this conversation by talking about, you mentioned you're 63, I'm 48, and I want to talk about the whole aging conversation. Because as you said, you only script things about women over 50, and I'm, you know, a year and a half off that. So you do such a brilliant job of reframing the way that we think about ages. And I think that it's as soon as a woman turns 50, it's almost like she just becomes invisible to society. And
it's
it is
not
just
almost.
Right. She does. It is
she
just
does.
Such a load of bullshit. Not least because I think that women really start coming into their own the older you get. Certainly that's how I feel about myself and my life. So Heidi, speak to that if you wouldn't mind.
I mean, I always say, and this was not my thought, I did not invent this idea, but women when they turn 60 are finally getting back to the girl they were supposed to be. And you spend your whole life fighting these rules and societal ideas that were invented by probably some white guy that is telling you how you're supposed to live your life, what your value is, and what your job is here in this country, at least, or in this world. I mean, you know, we weren't even in the Constitution when it was created. So how much value do we possibly have? And I think for me, the problem is that women are only valued for their sexuality and what they look like and what they can do for men. And I think that we need to change that because I am a lot more than my sexuality. Like, I don't even have sexuality anymore. I think I'm asexual. It's been so long that I've even bothered thinking about it. And I think I have a lot more to offer society than just my vagina. So that's the thing that happens to women when you turn 50, you start menopause, a lot of women. And when you start menopause, people have decided that that means you are no longer sexually viable. And so once you are no longer fuckable, you no longer matter. There's a great skit that Amy Schumer did on her show where Julia Louis-Dreyfus wanders into the woods and there's a table full of women sitting around and they're like, "Oh, you're here. Congratulations, you're 50. You're now unfuckable." And the fact that we're still battling the idea that that's all we are is crazy to me. I posted something about someone saying that to me the other day about how I looked freshly fucked. I don't know if I could curse on your podcast,
You
but if I
could. Oh my
can't,
God,
sorry,
trust me, you
my
can
mouth
100%
idiot.
swear on this podcast.
And someone said to me, "Wow, you look so fuckable." And it just set me off because I am not here to be fuckable. I am not here to be your sexual chew toy. I am here for many things, and none of them are for you. I'm
Yeah.
here for me.
Who said that again?
It was a friend. I was leaving my house for a photo shoot and I posted about it and I didn't tell him. And he saw the million responses that just shredded him for saying that. And he was like, "I am so sorry. That is a lesson learned." I'm like, these are not things you say to women, especially women who are 63. Like, I deserve more respect than that. I've been here a long time.
Totally.
But it's always sexual innuendo with men, straight men, gay men, always. It's fucking exhausting. Your penis is not the hug that I need at all. So just put it back in your fucking pants. Like, do better, be worth more than what's in your pants, too. Like, we don't need you. We've got toys if we need that.
Oh my gosh, Heidi, I just, no,
Sorry.
please do not apologize. You are, swear as much as you fucking want, because I no doubt will too. Sorry, carry
Also,
on.
no one takes into consideration the fact that I was molested as a kid and I was raped as a young woman. Like, no one takes that into consideration. I have issues with you people. You have done me dirty. Like, I'm not out here trying to be sexual for you because when I wasn't trying to be, I was used as a sexual toy. And when I was trying to be pretty and sexual, it was used against me. So what's the joy in that?
How old were you when that happened?
I think I was about 3. I think it only happened once. I still don't really know the details. I just know it's like, your body keeps score. And I was 36 when I was raped.
Wow. Was
And
it
I don't know
something
who it
you
was.
knew?
I was blackout drunk.
Oh my gosh.
I just woke up and knew that it had happened.
I'm so sorry. How has that impacted your life since, you think?
I think that once I realized that it happened to me, I let go of it for the most part. I mean, my body has not let go of it. I definitely hold the trauma. I did a bunch of ayahuasca and it kind of helped me remember what happened to me. And I think that's what led to my alcoholism, and I haven't had a drink in 23 years,
Wow.
which is about how long it's been since I've entertained the idea of dating. So they kind of went hand in hand. Yeah, it's just one of the things that really triggers me the most is women as sexual beings only. I got a request from Cosmopolitan magazine, which is known for just saying ridiculous things about women, and they asked me if I would comment on sex over 60, and I knew what they wanted. I've never been better. It's never been more fabulous. So I wrote what it was for me, which was I haven't had sex after 60 because A, B, C, molesting, rape, and whatever. And I thought, well, let's see what they do with this. And they actually printed it.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean, I was the only one that had that to say, but they printed it. And I got a lot of messages from a lot of women thanking me.
I bet you did. One thing I'd like to pick up on actually about the sex thing is when you first mentioned that and you said that, you weren't currently having sex, you haven't had, I can't remember exactly what you said, but the implication being that you hadn't had sex for quite some time and you don't need it, you don't require it. And you said something, I wish I could remember the line, but you said it made me laugh how, you basically got better things to think about. And I wanted to pick up on that because I've been single for coming up 7 years. And I basically haven't had sex apart from with one guy during those 7 years, a few times with one guy about 4 years ago. And I actually did an episode on this called The One Where I Talk About Sex, because I th having been a, what I would describe as a pretty sexual person, I've had like many boyfriends and, always had sex and da 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 da, and it was something I enjoyed and all the rest of it. But it's, I find it a subject that of fascination because I don't fucking miss it, and
No.
I don't think about it. And so
Yeah,
I
me
love that
neither.
you said that because it really is this sort of preoccupation, isn't it? About everything sort of just gets boiled down to sex, and it's like there's so many more interesting things to be talking about in the world than whether or not we're having sex. And also, there's such a stigma, I think, like the fact that
Oh
I've
my
talked
God.
openly about not
Yeah.
having sex and like put a podcast.
I've never said it. I've never said on my page, I've never said how long it's been since I've had sex because
Right.
I am not ready for that judgment.
Yeah.
Because I can top you by quite a few decades. And the reason I stopped is because I got sober. They say that you should wait a year. I
Really?
did. Yeah. I didn't, and the person that I had sex with lied to me about what the relationship was going to be and really threatened my sobriety and ruined my trust. And I was just like, I'm done. I'm done. And I don't talk about it because there is such a stigma. Because, when I was growing up, and if you acted like a bitch, people would say, you need to get laid. And
Oh
it's
my
like,
God.
yeah, that's not going to help me. And I know that at some point I will talk about it, but I just, social media, it's just, there are certain things I'm not ready for. I'm such an empath. I'm not ready for the wrath of certain things. Like I talk about it on other people's podcasts, but I haven't put it on my own page yet
Yeah, I totally
fully
understand
to
that.
say how long it's been. Because people think it's crazy, like you'll die if you don't have sex. And I'm sure there are lots of women that love it. I haven't met any, but I'm sure there are lots of women that love sex. I only had it when I was drunk. So I don't know. I think I'm asexual.
It's so funny because I have, I think, surprised myself by how I just don't think about it, and I don't make, and I'm sure there are plenty of single women out there who want it, who need it, who go in search for it. I mean, I would,
Oh,
I
yeah.
was, yeah, and I was never that girl, but it's as someone who did enjoy sex while I was having it, it has surprised me how little I give a shit about it. But it's so what you said then about, oh, if you're uptight or angry or whatever, only women would ever get this. It's exactly like you say. It's like, oh, you clearly need to get laid. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Literally. Because what the thing that really irks me about it is that it's something that doesn't come into my brain apart from very, very, very occasionally. Normally, if I'm watching something where there's a sex scene and I have a bit of a stirring, but most of the
Yeah.
time, it doesn't come into my head because I have so many more things going on in my head that I'm thinking about than sex.
Yeah.
It
I think there's
just.
so many myths about sex and sexuality and what you need as a human. And I've had so many people say to me, like, it's not normal to not have sex or not have companionship. And I'm like, I don't know, is it? Maybe I'm lying to myself, Maybe I'm going to get a boyfriend and it's just going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I'm just going to fuck all day long for 7 years. Like, I don't know. But as far as I know and can tell, I'm fine.
Yeah, completely.
I always say, I'll be more than happy to have sex again when I trust the human being that I'm with to not play with my heart and my emotions. I can't, it hurts too much. I can't do
Yeah.
it again. I'm done.
And I think that can be certainly a very, well, dare I say it, I think it can be quite a female thing, because I like you wouldn't want to sleep with someone until there was some kind of trust there, and some there has to be some kind of connection, you know. And I, you know, again, I'm sure there are plenty of women who, you know, want to, who like having sex just for the sake of having sex for no other reason and don't require any kind of connection. But for I personally need to have a connection. I can't just fuck someone because I find them attractive. Like it just doesn't
Yeah.
work like that for me.
I
And I
mean,
do think that's quite a female thing. What would you say about
I
that?
did that all the time, but I was drunk.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah. I was a total slut. I
Yeah.
took people home, different people home all the time, but I was drunk, you know? So it's different when you're not, when you're sober, sex is very different.
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know. I've only had sober sex a few times in my life, to be honest. And the last time that I did, it just wrecked me. Well, he
Right.
wrecked me. It was funny. We were just talking about him, the person at the table last night at Easter dinner, because some friends of mine are working with him. And
Really?
they were like, yeah. I go, well, have you ever brought me up? And they're like, no. I'm like, you should. Like, you should defend me. He threatened my sobriety with his male lies. You should say something, but they won't.
Wow,
Because
that
they're
doesn't.
men. Yeah.
Right. Doesn't surprise me. I hate to say it, doesn't surprise me. Now, Heidi, thinking about, obviously you've been single for quite a number of years. Talk to me about, because obviously this is a podcast about being single and not having kids, and I'd love to have you speak to your sort of, you know, where are you in terms of being single? I'd love to know how you feel about it. Are you totally happy with it? Are you dating? What's the score in terms of that?
I'm very grateful that I was never the kind of woman that needed to have a boyfriend to feel relevant. Never, whether I was drinking or not. I had boyfriends. They never lasted more than a year because I was such a hot mess. They always got tired of me, you know, messing about. But it's never been my priority. I've never felt like I am less than if I do not have a relationship. And so I never really thought about it. And it's still the same. Like, I just don't, other people think that I am less than because I'm not in a relationship. Even people who I pitch stories to think that I don't have enough to say because I don't, haven't had a husband or children.
I would have thought it would be the opposite, the actual opposite.
I know, I
You
know.
know what I mean? I would assume you
I've
have
done
a
way
lot more
more
to
than you
say.
people that have had children. Yeah. And I have nothing against marriage or men or babies or any of that. It's just never been a priority for me to prove that my life is worth living, that I've done it because I have some children that are like me or a husband that, you know what I mean? I've just never. It's just never been a priority. And so it's still not a priority. I
Yeah.
just don't even, I don't know, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Other people love to think about it.
On your behalf.
Yeah, I mean, even last night I was at this dinner party and I had on my glasses and this look, and this one guy said to me, like, oh my God, this is such a good date look for you. Super sexy. You should wear it out. And I'm like, literally, I wanna just shut up. Is that it?
Always. Yeah. Is that
That's
exactly
it.
that? Yeah.
That's
That and
it. Okay. I look great for a date for someone. Like, shut up. I can't, like, it. And I can't say anything because they're not necessarily my friends, but I'm just exhausted by it. I
Yeah.
really am.
You hit the nail on the head when you say, is that it? It's like, oh my gosh. What this is one of the sort of bugbears I have about it is that thing of it's the only thing people seem to give a shit about and want to know about. And it's like, oh my God, being single is not who you are. Being single
Yeah.
is not who I am.
It's that Billie Eilish song, by the way, you know, What Am I Made
Which,
For?
oh
What Am
right.
I Made For from the Barbie movie. It's fucking brilliant
Yeah.
because really, what am I made for? Am I made for you and for
Yeah.
pretty clothes to wear for you and date you and
Yeah.
oh God.
Totally. I want to go back just briefly to the whole your message in terms of, women aging. What do you want them to know, and what do you want them to do, or how do you try and help them?
I mean, it's like multifaceted. Like just today, I talked about the fact that, I was watching TV and Jessica Chastain came on to promote a brand that I actually really like and said, "This is my favorite anti-aging cream." And I'm like, I think you should all be fined for using the words anti-aging. Like, let's just start fining people for using what is essentially just a female on female crime. Like, you're literally hurting people by saying anti-aging. What is the opposite of that? Like, I'm not the opposite. Like, what do you do if you don't age? You die. So how can you be against aging? So that's the first thing that I hate. Like, yes, you can go get Botox and filler and do all of the things that you want to do. It is your life, it is your face, it is your body. But ask yourself, why are you getting these things? Because someone told you that you old is bad. You didn't decide that you look badly. Someone else told you that your entire life. And that's what's leading you to get plastic surgery and filler. Make them pay for it. And that makes me crazy, number one. Number two, the whole concept of dress your age. What the fuck does that mean? Like, is there some form I'm supposed to fill out and where I have to go to Chico's now because I'm over 50? I dress like a 13-year-old skater boy half the time. So, dress however you want. I think my message is no matter where you are in life, live your life. Don't live someone else's rules for how you're supposed to live a life. Like, if you didn't write them, why are you following them? You know, they were all written by some old white guy. Everything was. It's called the patriarchy. Wake up and smell it because it is ruling your life. It is ruining your mental health. It is stopping you from living a life that you deserve, even if you decided to have children. Okay, great. But that doesn't mean you have to give up you.
What does living authentically mean to you, Heidi? Because this is something I've talked about quite a bit on the podcast. Because I personally think that so many of us are not living in a truly authentic way. Because, and actually, I'd love to get your take on this, because I personally think that if I could tell my younger self one thing, I would say, do not give a flying fuck what anyone else thinks. Because if you can let go of caring what other people think, you are free. And we hold ourselves back so much. And I've done it in the past way more than I care to admit. We hold ourselves back from the things we want because we care far too much about what people think. What would you say to that?
I think that is 100% accurate. And it's funny because I've been living without that thought in my head for so long that I almost don't remember that I used to feel that way, but I definitely did feel that way. And, I think everything good in life happens when you let go. Just everything. Nobody gives a shit about you. They might talk about you, but they don't give a shit about you. Nobody cares what you do. You're the only person that you travel through this life with. So you need to pay attention to you and you need to do the things for you that feel good. And also along the lines of like letting go of what other people think is like letting go of shame. Like that is a waste of time to carry that around because for the most part, your shame has nothing to do with you. Like, if you were an alcoholic or you had sex with too many boys or you did a bunch of bad shit, like, most of it is the result of something else, something that someone did to you that led you to do the things that are causing you shame. So give the shame back to them. This is not worth carrying it all around. Just let go. Just live your life. Don't take everything so goddamn seriously.
I'd love to know what you have to say about the shame of being single, because that is one of the big things, isn't it, for single women. And that's one of the things that pains me the most about how single women feel. And I know this through having done a podcast for 2 years and having had so many messages from people who feel it, because it's just, you know, it's similar to aging, isn't it? It's just so fucking wrong that women should feel shame because they're single for no other reason than they're single. They feel like they're less than, they feel like they're not enough, they feel like they haven't made it, they feel ashamed of who they are based on nothing more than their relationship status. And they're
I
carrying
know.
around this shame. But what advice would you give them apart from just, you
God,
know, obviously let it go, but
I again, I'm lucky that I didn't care. You know, most women really want to be in a relationship. I don't know if it's because that's how they measure their own success, but if you don't love yourself enough and you're looking for that love from someone else, that's the failure to me. That's where you're failing. If you are not absolutely 100% in love with yourself and can spend time with yourself and date yourself and find out what you want so that you don't succumb to these idiots out there that make you feel less than, that's the failure to me, is that we don't nurture people being single. We should be nurturing single. You're out there flinging yourself around as half a human being. You know, it's that whole thing about like finding your other half. No, your other half is you. You need to be a whole person before you go out there into the world and meet other people. I'm so grateful that I don't care and never cared about being single and what other people thought about it. I just didn't. I don't know why. I guess it's probably my parents, maybe. I mean, they wanted me to get married, but they also raised me to be super independent and have jobs and careers and to be able to take care of myself. And so I don't know, like, it's hard for me to actually relate to women that feel shitty because they're single. I'm like, you're living life. Go call your married friends. They are jealous that you can't lie on the couch all day and watch 12 hours of one day on Netflix like I just did. Like, literally, people are jealous of the time you get to spend with you, and they make you feel bad because they are pissed. You know, I always say, like, whenever people say dumb shit to you, just hold a mirror up to their face and then they'll be talking to the correct person. Because it's their own fear of what they didn't get to do that you remind them of. You make them angry when you're single. And I wish more people understood that. Your freedom pisses people off.
True, not.
Embrace your freedom. Just embrace it. You never know what could happen. You can meet someone tomorrow. Look at Gloria Steinem. She was 69 when she found the love of her life.
I love that point you just made. I love the way that the way that you spoke about that, and I couldn't agree more. Speaking of, you know, Gloria Steinem and finding love when she was 69, what I would love you to talk about is this notion that romantic love is
Oh.
the only kind of love that is worthwhile, and that the sort of love that we should put at the center of our entire lives and into our sort of entire being. And quite, you know, obviously this is the problem, that this is what society has always told us. What would you say about that, though, in terms of how much weight is placed on romantic love being the love, the thing that we're all searching for?
It's so damaging. I just think it's so damaging. And that's why single people feel so left out. You know, my whole TikTok started really from the post that I did about being single and childless and standing in at a party with a woman who was pregnant and a male friend and myself. And the male friend said to the woman, "It's so wonderful having a child. You'll never know what true love is until you have a child." And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, it's the same thing with marriage. Like, if you don't have a partner, you don't know what real love is. Like, do I look at romantic love and think it looks like the most amazing thing ever? Yes, but it's not 100% for the rest of your life going to be perfect. You need a few other things going on, you know? Is the love of a child 100% amazing? I'm sure it is, but again, it's not perfect. They could turn on you and stab you while you're sleeping. Like, nothing is 100% perfect. Nothing is 100% the answer. It's just some bullshit we keep being told in fairy tales, you know? I think it's so damaging to tell people that romantic love is the only love there is. I have wonderful relationships in my life with friends that are so fulfilling. I have never had a relationship with a man in all of my years that made me feel as good and as whole as my friends do. They made me feel awful and fat or stupid or whatever, but they never made me feel the same way as my friends. I mean, would I love to actually find a true partner who made me feel that way for the rest of my life? Yeah, that would be amazing. Am I a failure because I don't have that? I hope not. I don't think so.
I've asked a couple of guests this, but I know that if somebody told me that I was definitely going to be single, you know, that was what was going to happen for the rest of my life, I truly can say that I would be okay with that. I am okay with that because, you know, much like you, if the right guy came along and, you know, he really was the right guy for me and I was the right girl for him, then yeah, I mean, great. But I'm most certainly not sort of searching it out. And I also know, most importantly, in fact, that I will be fine either way because I like myself and I like my own company. And, you know, I love spending time on my own, which I do a lot of. If somebody said to you, I can tell you now for certain, Heidi, that you're going to be alone for the rest of your life, you're going to be single, because we're not alone because we're single, but you say you're going to be single for the rest of your life, what would you say in response to that?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think I am a very curious person, and I think it would sadden me to never know real, true love and partnership because I never have. I would love to experience that once, even if it lasted a week. So, in that aspect, it's just something I would love to experience. Like, I'm okay that I didn't get pregnant. It would have been cool to experience that. Now that I'm finally ready to do it, my eggs are dead, so I can't. But I think it would have to be so insanely perfect to top the life that I have now, to top the relationship that I have now with myself, to fit into what brings me joy and peace and happiness. It would have to be, I don't know that it exists. If it happens, awesome. And if it doesn't, I would be fine too. But I'm not gonna lie, I think it would be cool to experience that. Why not?
Absolutely. It's funny though, because I did a solo episode on solitude recently, and in fact, at the time of recording this, it hasn't actually gone out yet, but by the time this goes out, it will have gone out. And on that episode, I talk about how I would find it incredibly difficult to give up my life as it is now in order to fit a bloke in. Because apart from anything else, when I'm in a relationship, and you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a relationship, I'm in the relationship. Like I'm all in, which is ironic considering how good I am on my own. Have you experienced full-on heartbreak, or when was the what was the worst heartbreak you've ever had experienced? I
Oh
have
my
most certainly
God.
experienced it. And it is the worst pain in the world, isn't it? I mean, it really
Worst.
is.
So many times, you know, so many times. I mean, the first time was when I was in college with the boy that I basically lost my virginity to. But so many times, not so many times. I'll say there were like, you know, five times in my life that just wrecked me. And that was enough. The last one being during my first few months of sobriety. And that's just what ended it for me because I was like, you know, you're such an open, raw wound when you're getting sober. And I always say it's like you're dancing on the head of a pin at all times.
Wow.
And to have somebody break my heart and lie to me was it was too much. And I just said, like, I literally can't do this anymore. I can't. The pain of heartbreak is so painful to me. When it's a lie, Like, it's not like, oh, we both decided this isn't going to work out. It was always, oh, you're a fucking liar. Always. I had other breakups that maybe I broke some hearts, but the ones where men can just so easily suck you in. And I think that I was the particular kind of girl. I've done a piece about this, about narcissists and how I was such a narcissist finder.
I
Like
think
that, like
I
I,
am
they're like
too.
heat-seeking missiles for tough girls because they're like, ooh, that would be a real feather in my cap to break that bitch down.
Yeah,
And they
that's it. They
do.
like a challenge. They like a challenge. I
Yeah.
think narcissists go for people who
Yeah.
are, who have a lot going for them, don't they? That's
Yes.
so, yeah,
They
oh
fucking
God.
suck the life out of you and then leave you there. And you're like, wait, what? Like, I didn't know what love bombing was. I mean, I do now. And I always succumb to it. And I don't trust myself.
Do you
Can't
not
handle it.
think that now you wouldn't? Because I've also been in that situation with someone who is severely narcissistic. I personally think on the actual narcissistic personality disorder end of that spectrum. And I like to think that these days, particularly because I've been single for so long, I like to think that I would spot those red flags a fucking mile off, and I wouldn't go there. Having said that,
I don't know. I mean, me, I don't know. I'm sure you would.
well, even though I say that, the last guy who I this not a boyfriend, but the last guy, the one I was talking about, the last guy I had sex with about 4 years ago, also total narcissist to the point where the very first time I had an actual phone call with this guy, I phoned my sister afterwards. I was like, oh my God, this guy. I said there were literally like red flags flying out of every orifice. He talked about himself. He slagged off his ex-wife, in our first ever conversation, like, oh my God, red flags, red flags. And guess what? I fucking went there. I went there.
Yeah.
But now I can't help. Well, I like to think that that was the universe testing me one more time. And I hope I passed that test because I got the hell out after a very, very short amount of time. But do you not think that you would see those red flags and run in the opposite direction?
I don't know because sometimes the lies are so intricately well told that I fall for it. I mean, the last guy, he had moved to LA. And we were working at the same place, and we fell for each other. And he said, my girlfriend was supposed to move down here, but I'm madly in love with you, and I'm gonna end it, and I'm going to tell her not to come. And he was just lying. He just wanted to get laid. But it
Oh.
was so elaborate that I was like, he was like, oh my God, we could live together. We'll get a dog. Like he built this whole thing in my head. And I fell for all of it because I was sober and I was raw and I was, ready for something different after all of my years of just drunken sex. And it just destroyed me.
Yeah.
To this day, it destroyed me. It just ruined all my trust. Like, wow, you could be so elaborately lying. I just, how do I know? I don't know how to know. So I don't know that I'd recognize it. I mean, I also think it sucks that we have to be so skeptical about everything because men suck so hard. But I am a narcissist magnet.
The thing about narcissists is that they go for people who are very, ironically, they go for people who are really together, who, like you, who are, you're obviously
They like a
very
challenge.
right, but you're obviously whole and complete on your own. You don't need a guy, but that is
Yeah.
exactly the kind of woman they go for. Someone who,
Yes.
and I don't, yeah, like you say, it's a challenge, isn't it? It's can
Yes.
I conquer this woman? But the love
Yes.
bombing thing is such a
Oh
big
my
one, isn't it?
God.
Because you end up feeling like you're in a fairy tale. It's like, oh my God, no one's ever loved me like this. No one's ever paid me so much
Yeah.
attention. No one's ever been, it's never been so fast moving and da da da. I've so been there. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, and
wow.
there's a physical thing that happens to you. There's endorphins. And so, of course, if people really understood what happened when this stuff was happening, you'd realize it's really just like you might as well take a drug. You're just on
Totally.
drugs.
And then, of course, when they turn nasty, it literally is like you are a drug addict. because you need the fix, and then they're nice again, and then and so that you get the fix, and then they're nasty again, and then you know you're devastated, and then you need the fix again. It literally is the same physiology as being a drug addict, isn't it?
It's like I dated a model once and he was a cocaine addict and just so abusive and, built me up and then slowly just tore me down until I was just a shell of myself. And then I finally caught him cheating on camera when I was editing a friend's wedding video.
Oh my
And
God.
so I packed his stuff up and I put it outside the door and I changed the locks. And maybe 6 months later or so, he came back and he said, I just wanted to apologize for what happened. I was so jealous of how together you were and how not together I was that I literally sought out to destroy you and to make you as bad as I was and as weak as I was. And I was so grateful that he told me that I took him back. And then 6 months
Do you think he
later,
was full of it because he wanted, do you think it was bullshit because that's
I
exactly what
think
he
he
was
wanted,
planning?
no, I think he was a narcissist, but I think it was real. I
Right.
think he was being really honest, but he didn't know how to be better than he was. He didn't know how to, people don't change, And so I think that was his one moment of honesty. And I took him back. And within 6 months, I said to him, like, if you really do love me, if you really do have any feeling for me, like you say you do, I am begging you to leave because I can't make you do it. I'm begging you to leave. And he did, thankfully. So I know he did love me enough to let me go.
Wow. I'm genuinely impressed by that because I think so, when someone is really extreme on the narcissism scale, it's unusual, I think, from, well, and this is only from what I know about it, but actually I do know, for reasons that I won't bore you with, I do know quite a lot about it. But that quite surprises me because one thing about narcissism is that there is, well, it's all about the lack of empathy, isn't it? They do not have empathy, which is a very, very, very disturbing personality trait or a very disturbing thing to not have. You realize when somebody has no empathy, you realize actually that is a dangerous thing. And the thing, from what I know about narcissism, it's the one thing there is no cure for it. And so it's a, yeah, I mean, it's a whole, well, I mean, I could do a freaking podcast on narcissism. I find it, in equal measure fascinating, but also incredibly disturbing. And there are just some, it's a very, very dangerous, dangerous thing. Heidi, let me ask you, are there any parts of being single that you do not like, you do not enjoy? How do you feel about the downsides of being single, if you think there are downsides to being
Oh,
single? Maybe you don't.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Getting invited to weddings. I hate going to weddings as a single person. I just fucking hate it. They're awful. You just feel awful. Even if you're invited with someone, it's like, what am I going to bring my best girlfriend to the wedding? It's just, I hate that
How do you get out of
so
it?
much. I don't. I go and I fucking suffer every time. Because people are so kind to invite me and want me to be there, but I truly hate it. I think honestly, that's the only thing I hate about. Well, and some holidays, like sometimes, like I don't care about Valentine's Day, but weird holidays like July 4th or, holidays that have just become these like couples going out having fun. I feel I don't get invited to stuff as much, and it kind of bums me out. Not so much since I hit 60, but before that, yeah. 50s were hard in that aspect. I had a lot of FOMO in my 50s, and now I have JOMO,
Oh, me too.
FOMO.
Yeah, me
60s have been my favorite decade so far, for sure.
I love that. I love that because that speaks to what we were talking about earlier about getting older and how actually, it can be very empowering for women and women can really kind of come into their own. What do you love about being single?
I love that I just get to do what I want when I want. I love that I get to set boundaries. that I get to spend time alone with my thoughts, that I never have to do anything I don't want to do. You know, I always say my favorite Glennon Doyle quote from Untamed is,
Such a good
you know,
book.
your job in this life is to disappoint as many people as possible to avoid disappointing yourself.
Such a great book.
And I like to live not disappointing myself.
Yeah.
And I love that about being single. Like I get to make all the rules, you know. It's the same thing about my career, which I just stopped working for a company because I just don't do well. I want to make the rules for my life.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about being single. Like if I want to go to bed with a bag of potato chips at 4 o'clock, I can, and nobody will judge me. It's the complete, unless you're judging yourself, which I try not to do, it's just living a life that is completely judgment free.
Yeah, totally.
Because I don't give a shit if you don't care, if you don't like what I do in my single life and how I choose to live it. I don't care what you think at all.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you said something along the lines of that you were finally ready to have kids, and obviously you can't now have them naturally. Were kids something that you wanted?
I mean, when I was younger, I used to tell my parents, I'm going to get married when I'm really old. I'm going to wait until I'm 28. Because when I was growing up in the 60s, 28 was ancient
Yeah.
to get married. When I got sober, I decided I wanted to try and have kids. And all it took was one trip to the gynecologist to find out what I would have to do to have kids. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. So that was that.
Right.
It was that easy. So I
Right.
guess I didn't want them that bad. And
Yeah.
I love kids and I love being with my friends' kids. But man, am I happy when I get to hand it back and go home because I don't have the energy or the time or the selflessness to be a mom. I think being a mom is the hardest job in the world.
I completely agree. Would you say that you really embrace all the benefits of not having kids? And are you
Yes.
consciously grateful for that?
Yes. Daily.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends that have kids and they're tired.
Yeah. It's hard. It's
And
hard work. Is it something
I,
that's not
oh my
spoken about
God.
enough? It's
No,
just
moms
not.
are, especially moms who work.
Yeah.
I
Can you
mean,
imagine?
my God, it's the hardest job on the planet. It really is.
I completely agree.
I need
And
to
it
talk about
really.
that. I'm going to write myself a note so that I remember to talk about that because I don't talk about that enough. And I really do believe that momming is the hardest job on the planet.
Yeah. And it definitely isn't spoken about enough because I think we're so preoccupied by singing the praises of the traditional path of marriage and kids that nobody really wants to. People sort of tiptoe around the fact that actually, people can really regret having kids, not so they don't love them, but people can regret having them. And
Oh, yeah.
we don't talk enough about how, the reality of kids is it is fucking hard work. I know that from my
Oh,
own
yeah. You
friends.
should read my posts when I post about being single and childless. People are like, you know, hey, I've got kids and they suck. It was not fun. Like, yeah, it's a thankless job.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to just ask you. I know I've nearly had you for an hour, so I need to start, thinking about wrapping up because I don't want to take up too much of your time. Because I know you must be bloody busy. Let me ask you, the thing where people say, "Aren't you worried? You're gonna die alone." What are your thoughts
Yeah.
on that? Oh my God.
I mean, we all die alone, right? I'm not going to die alone. I have so many people who love me and will be there with me that I'm not going to die alone.
Yeah.
And I think my mom, the anniversary of my mom's death was yesterday, a
Oh.
year.
Oh, gosh, I'm
And
sorry.
I was there in the end, and it was not pretty, and she didn't even know I was there. I think she knows now. She knew, but you know, death is weird, and I don't think I'm gonna die alone, so it's okay. You
Yeah.
know, I got a lot of people who love me, so even if I'm alone at the moment of my death, I
Yeah.
am very much not alone, even if it's only the 1.3 million followers out there who love me, I will not die alone.
Totally. But it's one of those things that people feel compelled to say. Aren't you
Yeah,
scared of being weird?
I
Oh,
think people
infuriating.
should say, I think what people should say is, aren't you afraid to leave here worse than you came?
Right.
Because to me, the only thing that matters is leaving better than I came. And I
Right.
know I'm accomplishing that. And that is something to worry about,
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
whether or not you're going to be alone.
Absolutely. And speaking of being alone, I just want to ask you one more question and then I promise I will wrap it up. But in terms of loneliness, like I said, I've just recently done a solo episode on solitude, and I think that the term solitude and loneliness can, they can get sort of conflated, they can get mixed up. People, to me, solitude is like the joy of being alone, whereas loneliness is the, the pain of being alone. How do you suffer from loneliness? I ask this question because I know that there are a lot of single women out there who do struggle with loneliness. I'm really grateful and really lucky that I don't. That isn't to say I never have, that isn't to say I never will. But currently, for the last quite a few years, it's not something that I struggle with or really feel. I personally think that is a lot to do with the work that I've done on myself. And I'm very, very into personal growth and development and all of that kind of stuff. And I personally think it's much more a state of being and a state of mind, actually, than either you're single or in your relationship. Because we all know that there are plenty of people who are lonely as anything in, when they're in a couple. But is it something that you ever experience or have experienced or,
I am not lonely. I do not experience loneliness. Maybe here and there, maybe, but then I'll do something about it and then I'll be like, wow, that was stupid. Let's go back to my cave. I enjoy being with myself more than I should. Sometimes it worries me to the point where I make myself go out, but I am great company. And I like being alone with my thoughts and my solitude. And I don't feel lonely 99.9999999% of the time.
Yeah, I totally resonate. I feel exactly the same way. I think we're lucky. I think we're really lucky.
I do too.
Yeah,
I do too.
definitely.
And I don't know if that's because of my alcoholism or my partying or all the things that I did where I was, or all the jobs I had where I was just never alone, but I respect my time
Yeah.
myself.
I also wonder, and I talked about this in the solitude episode, I've been thinking for ages about a correlation between being an introvert and, enjoying solitude and actually finding it easier to be alone. I am, although I don't, no one would necessarily guess I'm an introvert because I'm pretty outgoing and,
No, you're an extroverted introvert. So am I.
exactly.
So am
Right.
I. When you're
Right.
out with people that you love, you're an extrovert. But for the
Yeah.
most part, you want to just stay inside and be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an extroverted introvert too. There's a lot of us.
Yeah, I think there are. I find it really
Yeah.
fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
Heidi, before we wrap up, is there anything that you feel called to say to the single women out there who might not be feeling great? And actually specifically to the over 50 women out there who might not be feeling great, what advice would you give them?
I mean, just stop feeling like you're a failure for being on your own because someone else decided that that's the most important thing in life, and it's not. It's so much more important to love yourself than it is to love someone else, in my humble opinion. And you are not a failure if you do not have romantic love. It's just another chapter in the book of you, but it is not you.
Thanks. I love that. I want you to tell everyone how they can find you and follow you. And while you're doing that, can you just tell us a little tiny bit about your incredible Instagram account and sort of how you came to do that? Because it's just so awesome. Honestly, it's so brilliant. You're mainly you do getting dressed with me, don't you? And you do like a voiceover. As I say, when I first discovered you, I literally just was like going through your reels, literally scrolling through every single reel. I couldn't stop. I really couldn't stop, and I don't do that very often because I'm quite strict with
You.
myself.
I wish
But
more people did that, to be honest with you, to went back and listen to the stories because I do, it's
that's why they're
I
so
write them and
brilliant.
care about them and
Yeah,
their,
but that's what makes the
you
reels
know.
brilliant, because it's not just you getting dressed. I mean, that's also brilliant, but what makes them brilliant is the fact that they have the voiceover and the story over the top of them, you
Thank
know?
you. It all happened so organically. I had been on Instagram forever posting just stills of my outfits, and I had 4,000 followers and nobody cared. None of my friends ever commented. Nobody ever commented. I never heard peep from anyone. But my friend Krista Allen, who is an actress and had been on TikTok for about a year, said, "You need to post your outfits on TikTok." And I was like, okay. And if you look at my very first TikTok, you can see the evolution of what is now my account because it's right there on the page. Although fucking TikTok has stripped my music and storytelling from 30 of my pages because of music infringement rights that they've, you know, they changed all the rights about music, which is really sad. But those stories, most of them are on Instagram now. And so you can see me evolve where I had just a still, and then I started dancing, and then I started saying little things, and then to what it is now, which is just full on storytelling that I write every morning. And then I started posting them to Reels, and my Instagram grew from 4,000 to, you know, 600,000 in less than a year, which is unheard of. And so I really owe it all to my friend Krista Allen, who said people need to hear what you have to say. And I owe it to the audience because they gave me permission to be authentic. I mean, I don't know how to be anything other than who I am. I've never been a liar on social, like, what's the point? But I owe it to the people who follow me, who really make me feel safe to therapize myself every day on this app, which in turn helps therapize them.
Brilliant.
So it's just a really safe place. And, you know, I did a couple of posts recently where some young women had asked me for advice, and I gave them advice and I put it to the followers to give advice. And it was two of the most beautiful posts I've ever seen in my life. Like the community was 600 comments of just nothing but love and joy for these girls trying to find their way.
Wow. You have a lot of younger followers, don't you? Which is
Very young.
so interesting that, and it's actually,
Very.
do you know what? That's actually really, really very, very encouraging. And I'm so pleased that you have lots of young followers, because that says quite a lot.
I think only 1% of my audience is over 50.
Really?
I get DMs constantly from teenagers.
Really?
And I can tell you 6.8% are 13 to 17, 34% are 18 to 24, 33% are 25 to 34. 13% are 35 to 44, 7% are 45 to 54,
Gosh.
3% are 55 and above.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
But it kind of warms my heart, really, because
Yeah.
in a world that is so obsessed with youth and,
Yeah.
you know, all of that, and like being perfect, and, you know, all of the images that we all see on social media, the fact that these young girls are loving yourself, who is so, you know, so authentic and so real, but not showing up with fucking Botox and, you know, perfect this and perfect
Yeah.
that. But what it shows actually is that authenticity always, always shines through. It just does.
Yes.
There's no getting
I
away from
agree.
it. And your energy is your
And I
energy, and
think,
it comes through.
yeah. And I think that the comment that I get the most that brings me so much joy is, you know, you make me feel better about getting older. And that was always my goal, to change the way the world looks at women over 50. And I
Yeah.
think I'm accomplishing that. Slowly but surely.
100%. Heidi, it's been so, so, so fabulous to talk to you. Seriously, thank you for your time. What are your handles, though, before I forget to ask
Everything's
you?
welcome to Heidi.
Great.
Welcome to Heidi on TikTok. Welcome to Heidi on Instagram. Welcome to Heidi on YouTube. My book is called Welcome to Heidi. I wrote it 10 years ago, but you know, and you can find any links to anything in my bio.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I think you are genuinely completely awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad you found me.
You're welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Spinsterhood Reimagined. Please do subscribe to this podcast by hitting that follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you have a few minutes to spare, please consider leaving me a review because reviews help enormously when it comes to people actually finding this podcast. Also, you can now support the show with just $3 a month. So if Spinsterhood Reimagined has helped you in your life, then you can give back by simply clicking on the link in the show notes that says support the show. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at Spinsterhood Reimagined. And also please subscribe to my new YouTube channel if you'd like to watch some clips from the podcast. And finally, if you have any comments or guest suggestions, feel free to email me anytime on lucy@lucymegason.com. And I think that's it. But no, there's one more thing. Don't forget that one day I'm going to get Jennifer Aniston on this podcast. Yes, I bloomin' well will. I'll see you back here for Thursday Thoughts and on Saturday for my mini-sode. In the meantime, have a fabulous week and sending you lots of love. Bye.